The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. This is the post-event review of the Lick 38 Pro presented by S-Lines. And I have a very special guest with me. He is El Champion of this particular competition, the Lick 38 Pro. And Rob Hazelwood, how you doing?
I'm doing very, very, very well in this moment.
I think if there was ever a Cloud 10, you're probably on it right now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a different emotion than I almost expected, because it's like you never imagine kind of me and Cole have trained together for a very long time. Obviously, I knew, been second out, what Freddie had got. So I knew once I'd kind of beaten Freddie, I was like, okay, that's one down. But I've come to know Cole very well, and I call him one of my best buds. So it's a weird emotion. I'm elated, obviously, with the win, and it's kind of everything I've ever dreamed of. So,
excellent!
There's
stuff.
A lot of emotions going on.
Excellent stuff, and I do have to say, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I mean, you've paid your dues, haven't you? I mean, you've been in this sport for a while. You've been around these guys, you know, like Freddie Winter and Nate Smith and everyone else that's been involved in professional water skiing for like the past 2 to 3 years, and here you come along, and it certainly wasn't handed to you on a plate, was it?
I'd like to think not. It's been three years. I mean, I did my first pro event in Europe in maybe 2018-19, but that was kind of just good luck and hopes and just, there's one in Italy, let's go on a holiday and go ski. So, but realistically, I started on tour in 2021. That was my first US pro event. And yeah, so it's been, 3 years since then. I guess this is coming into the fourth. And yeah, it just feels pretty incredible. Like you say, a lot of work, a lot of time.
Whatever you're going to be posting on Instagram right now as a result of this win is going to have a slightly less melancholy feel about it, because I mean, many of the posts that you've put after tournaments have been like, ruin your bad luck, you know, and
yeah,
you know, and just I was just on the grasp of getting through to the final and someone just nicked me to the post, you know.
There's been a lot of good stuff. There's been a lot of good stuff over the last 4 years. But this, I mean, with the LCQs, that was tough. I just don't know what happened there. Just had a real hard time getting, I think, it's a different setup, right? In a pro event, your main goal is to make the finals. The score isn't floating around as like this top three number. It's very much, it changes all the time. Whereas in this, it's right, you make top eight. That's the primary goal. It's a very different headspace that I have coming into these pro events. So I think that's something I need to learn. I need to be able to work on. But there's been some sad posts. Obviously, Swiss was incredible. I mean, out of the two pro tour events, they've been pretty damn happy posts, you know.
And you're a big old winner on the pro tour right now. You are on top.
That's something I never thought I'd say, but again, Will wasn't here, so it is his choice at the end of the day. So, but yeah, Will's not here. I don't know how long I'll sit there for, but I'll try my damn hardest to stay somewhere near the top.
I mean, what do they say? You can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket, right?
No, and that's and that's what it is. And it's a big event. There's a few people missing. Obviously, Dane's out with injury. Nate hasn't really skied at all this year. So really, there's one or two people missing, but it feels sure sweet.
Masters qualifiers. Okay, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the whole concept of having qualifiers directly a weekend before the major tournament of the year, or at least the major tournament of that part of the season, and you know, and your qualification to that major tournament, you know, you'd have to either be a world champion or a world record holder to actually get the automatic invite, and then everyone else has to slug it out
The only way that I can say it is it becomes a different qualifier. It's very hard for me to say anything without sounding sour because it's been 2 years that I haven't made it, right? I very much understand that.
I can understand that, yeah.
And it's like, and that's the thing is like, I know whenever I say anything, it just sounds like, oh, he's sour. And I think the difference is everybody who made Masters deserved to make the Masters. There is no lack of deservedness for making Masters. My example is Tigas. That guy is a career veteran, right? He's a 3 at 41 every day, all day, every day. Somewhat like me, I'm not great at getting down it, but I seem to be somewhat relatively good at getting towards 3. That does not favor me. But you put Tigas in a tournament setup, you throw Tigas on the Masters, he's there, you know? And everyone who was there was also there. But you get a very different field when you take the best skiers, you take the best 3 skiers from the events versus a tour of skiing, right?
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a difference. You know, they're not, I don't want it to come off as they're any less deserved because they're not, but then you miss out on people like Tigas that are tour veterans, are incredible at a tour, but between 2 tournaments that had some relatively rough conditions in some of them, he didn't manage to get across the 4. There was an 8-way runoff. I mean, you saw runoff. Runoffs are hard there.
Yeah, there's a lot absolutely.
There's a lot of luck. I was centimeters away from popping the handle at 2 at 39. I wouldn't be sat here, right? I wouldn't be happy.
No.
Runoffs are such a hard burden. So you put 9 people in a runoff at one spot or whatever the hell it was. It's like, at the end of the day, there's a lot of skiers who deserve to go to Masters. And the people that made it through this system are not undeserved or unjust.
No.
Absolutely. It's just a different field than you get if you take the Pro Tour. And it then is a matter of, okay, which one do you want? To me, you take in the skiers that can get the best scores on the perfect lakes, even though conditions were rough this year. So it was a little more true to conditions. And then you throw them on a fantastic tournament, one that I dreamed to go and ski again, but some awful conditions. So it is what it is. I didn't make it. I didn't deserve to make it. The way that I skied, I mean, was embarrassing, right? I got a 2.5 at the first one. That wasn't embarrassing. And then I couldn't get out of 2 at all. So it's my own fault. This is by no means a sour loss. I love the Masters. I love pretty much everything that they do. Just the LCQs, they just get a different feel than you would get if you went Pro Tour. And that isn't wrong. It's just which one is reflecting the current tour.
Your self-awareness seems to have improved quite a lot in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that you've probably visited a sports psychologist. You know,
nope.
To no, nothing like that.
This one's all in my own head. I've always tried my best my whole entire life to step back from the situation. I do that for my own skiing. I come into an event, I look back, and I go, "Hey, if I was," because it's so easy to look at people online. You can see whatever people post online. And I take a step back. This week, it was some ski trying, some this, some that. I wasn't skiing that well. I was all over the place. And I was like in my own head. Da, 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 da. And then I see someone post this and someone that. And I see calls. And I see all this. And I get in my own head very quickly. And the best thing I learned was just to take a step back. And how is, if you put 10 people out here right now, and without the information that you know in your own head, what would they think you're skiing like? You know? Like realistically, the boys have been ran. The 39s have been ran. It's so easy to get in your own head as, oh, I missed 139 3 weeks ago in a tailwind with this. Oh, I'm going to miss it today. It's like, no, take a step back, you know? You're skiing fine. Take as Marcus Brown would say, take a macro look at it, right? Take the outside look at everything and let's zoom out and go, hey, you're actually skiing okay. And that's what I try to do with Masters. That's what I try to do with LCQs. That's what I try to do with someone's been moody or someone shouts at a joke or whatever. Obviously, there's a million things that can go wrong in this sport. And then it's important to take a step back and be like, you know what? Let's zoom out. Let's see why this happened. What was this? Why did you fall?
Yeah.
And that's something I try. That's an approach I try to make probably too often.
All right. Tell us about your relationship with the Flow Point.
What do you mean relationship?
You know, you've done some YouTube videos with Marcus Brown and what have you. You know, I mean, what was your intro into that like?
My intro into it is I had a lot of little problems. I've never really had a ton of injuries as such. Like, oh, my ribs popped out. I'm gone for 3 weeks. It's all my ribs, a little this. And that's been, was my biggest issue over the last kind of 2 years before the last one. And the biggest thing was I got to know Marcus very well and obviously then got to know Jenny, and their vibe is just immaculate is the only way that I could say it. They're people who enjoy life and enjoy this sport, and they have given me a way. They've guided me down this path of, all right, how are you going to do a much better job of stopping these injuries popping up? How are you going to do a better job of looking after yourself? How are you going to kind of change your life a little bit to the point where you are no longer getting these little problems? We know, I mean, strength isn't necessarily my biggest problem, but mobility is. So what they have taught me, both on and off the water, just having a skier to talk to in Marcus has been really useful over the years as well. And it's just a program that has helped guide me kind of along a path of, when you become a pro skier, you often don't get necessarily coached. You're not watched as much. You're not, you don't have someone that tells you to do everything. You have someone that guides you along. You know, Will helps me with fin settings. Well, we talk about a lot of stuff. We guide each other along a path. Well, more slightly more one-sided. but with Marcus, it's, you know, there's no skin in the game. There's no skiing there. So it's just someone that you can bounce some ideas off, and you know that all he wants for you is to ski your best. Like we all do. I want anyone who we speak to about skis to ski their best. But just to know that you can have that I can kind of call Marcus with anything, and it's just I mean, kind of went on a little bit of a tangent there, but the program's pretty damn awesome, and you should check it out.
Indeed. Flow Point. I don't know what the URL is, but I mean, you can do a search.
Check it out on Instagram. Google,
on Instagram or what have you. Speaking about Instagram, you've been pretty active on that, you know, and you've actually launched your own sub account called Rob Hazelwood Creative. Now, sometimes, you know, having a distraction or something like that, you know, just gives you the opportunity to explore other creative works, other creative initiatives, that kind of stuff, and kind of takes the pressure a little bit off your skin. Do you subscribe to that?
I think that was the original idea. I think it's easy to stop and think. Honestly, it's made my life a lot busier than it was, so I guess that's one thing. But I think it's more, I sat and filmed anyway. So, and then I can't remember who said it, but they're like, this stuff's no good on a hard drive. There's no point in filming and putting it on a hard drive. And there's so many times that you give someone a video, but then they've posted a video from someone else, so then it doesn't stay there, then it doesn't get posted, which is, I do it, right? People send me stuff and I never post it, or pictures, because it doesn't fit the vibe, or it's not the right timing for my page, or I'm trying to keep something quiet or something. And then, so someone, I can film anything of someone at a pro event, obviously, and if they ask me specifically not to, I'm not going to. But it's just a way that I can go film, which I enjoy doing. I can quickly whack some edit on it, chuck some music on it, and just put it out there for the world to see. Because there's so many clips that sit on a hard drive in the ski world, in every world, that never get used. So I'm like, right, I'm just going to start my own account and chuck a load of stuff on there. So there's everything. Tricks, arm, jump, whatever event I'm at. I try keep a post today. It's been a bit busy this week, so I stopped. But yeah, it's just a little bit of everything on there.
Do you feel that in some instances you're kind of a little bit in competition with a whole bunch of other entities to try and outdo each other in creativity? Does that kind of, like, you know, invigorate you a little bit?
I don't know. I wouldn't say there's necessarily competition in the creative space. There is, but I don't know who. There's someone that you're targeting, I know, but I can't think who that would be. you know, like, I know you've got someone in your mind, but I think my page is different, I guess, because it's not necessarily about me. I try to stay quite away from it. I don't know. I just honestly, I do it because there's so much videos there that just sit there. I'm like, I don't want to have this tied to a brand or anything. I want it to keep it. It is what it is. It's videos that come off my camera. It's about the person. It's not about the ski. It's not about the sport. It's not about the event. It's about water skiing made to look good and just to be able to share it out with the world. And that's something that it was doing a lot of stuff for other people. And it was just something that I need to do something for myself, you know, and I love the vlogging. I love all of that stuff. That's going to hopefully start again through Europe, which is going to be a ton of fun. We're going to Morocco, which is going to be an insane vlog. I can tell you that one for free. But just to be able to kind of put a creative outlet on my channel and have it not tied to anything or anyone, and just somewhat be my account, but it's kind of, I'm hidden away in a way most of the time. And I can just share what I see and what I think is cool crashes, cool stuff, and highlight people that are doing pretty awesome stuff in this spot.
What kind of things are rattling in your mind right now about Morocco? Because it's the first ever Pro Tour stop in Africa.
I have no idea, other than probably, what I'm trying to think of the right word, not. I'm trying to think, like, I feel like I have an idea of what Morocco is going to be like, and it's probably not. But I've heard of videos, I've seen stuff, and I just know that it's going to be one crazy experience. You go to different cultures, right? We've both been to enough to know that it's just different.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine you go to another whole continent that I've never been to, and it's not a very, very different experience. So I'm incredibly excited to go. I mean, food is a huge thing for me. Go try the food, go kind of see the market, see the town, see everything about it. And yeah, I think every single pro water skier is going to come up here and be like, yeah, we want to ski well, but this isn't about the skiing anymore. This is about the place, you know?
All right. So let's kind of go back a little bit to this actual tournament. I mean, we probably went a little bit deep in the weeds
always
we're English. We do that, you know. But I mean, what was your preparation like for this tournament?
Honestly, it was nice to not have to not go to Masters, actually. I managed to get a few skis to try out. So I was kind of doing that all week, trying some new fin settings, just generally doing what it's hard to do. I went down to Tampa and stayed with Danny and Tiare and just had a chill weekend. And it was just nice to kind of relax with the LCQs not going so good. Everything gets uptight, everything gets tense. And I just needed to relax. So the skiing was almost took a little bit of a step on the back burner, but yeah, it was nice to just not have to stress. I watched all the Masters. I was envious of them there somewhat, even though the conditions looked horrendous.
Looked absolutely atrocious.
And I just kind of took a moment to step back, you know, to try search for some stuff. We go to Europe, we have no time for anything. So to be able to be at my home lake and just kind of test some fin settings out, test some things that I was curious about, and reset. And funnily enough, I went back on a big fat circle and ended up, where was it? On the same ski at Swiss. So, and the LCQs. So, but it's always good to learn. And just, if you go around this Europe with curiosities of settings that you're already thinking about trying now, or binding placements, or this or that, you end up kind of always thinking, oh man, I wish I'd have tried that. And nearly all the time, if you don't try it, it's better. So just to get them out of the way, get the curiosities done, so that I can rock up to Morocco with no thoughts other than that I'm riding the best setup I possibly can. And I'm hella excited for it.
Does someone carry your backup ski? And if he or she does, who is it?
Me and Jamie 90% of the time travel together. So what we normally do is we'll take, obviously we have two bags, she'll take one ski, I'll take the other ski. Like, we'll swap skis, so if we, and then run the whole group, so me, John, Ali, Will all travel together, and Jamie obviously, and then everyone kind of swap skis, so it becomes a, hey, at least if one of the bags is lost, there's always a ski there for you. And honestly, I could whack my bindings on Jamie's ski and run the same thing. So it's like we're all on a very similar setup, so it's nice to know that there's a lot of Syndicate 02s or 01s out there on the Pro Tour, and I know that push comes to shove, I can go, hey Jamie, because we have actually the same boot size, so I can even clip in and rock and roll. So yeah, I'm not too worried about it, but yeah, that's what we do.
All right then. So one of the water ski pro tour stops coming up is going to be the Oxfordshire Pro Am. Mm-hmm. Now you've been back and forth to England on a number of occasions.
Yeah. I lived there for 20 and still do for 20 odd years.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I mean, I very rarely visit England, you mm-hmm. know. So I mean, this is like the one instance over the last few years that I've had an opportunity to actually go and announce a tournament in England, you know. So yeah. I'm going to have a pretty good time there. Now, what about you from the skiing point of view, skiing on a pro tour stop in England?
It's exciting. Hey, that's the it's something that we all dream of, is skiing well at home. If something like this happens, I'll be absolutely elated. I've skied there a few times. I actually set my under 17 record. I set there at that place. So it's good memories there. I'm just excited. They've made a lot of changes, so I know that place, hopefully Steve does a good job setting it up. I know he will, and everything's on point, and we can go put some big scores up in England. But that's the goal. It's exciting.
And that event was moved up because of Kaiapa being cancelled. You know, that was a bit of a shame, that tournament, and hopefully it'll be organized again. And you know, I mean, your thoughts on that?
What thoughts is there? It's a shame that they couldn't manage to get the lake. I don't know what's known, what's not, but that event's one of the most fantastic out there. And it paved the way. That's the thing. Whether it goes ahead or not, we obviously all wish that it do, but it paved the way for events like Morocco this year. Hey, they come and just be able to, hey, we've got hotels organized for you. We've got this, we've got that. Just rock up. We've got this plan organized for you. They kind of paved the way for a slightly different type of tournament in terms of it really brings all the skiers together, because a lot of the stuff is actually organized by the organizer, you know, and that it's a shame that it's not still there. But whether it's there this year or not, their kind of effect on the Pro Tour in Europe is still seen, and hopefully they manage to get it back together next year and we can go party there again, because that was fun.
All right, then. I know you're looking at your watch and your phone, and
I need to go get some ice cream.
You need to go get some ice cream and head on down the road. But before we round off this podcast and I'll ask this of everyone, anyone you want to say thanks to and acknowledge their efforts in getting you to where you are?
Not these flies. I'd like that. Not the flies. These things are swarming. Oh, God, I'm going to forget someone. You all know who you are. I mean, I wouldn't be here without any of the obviously Will Asher. He's one of the most knowledgeable, I mean, if not the most knowledgeable person on Slalomski, you know. I would not be close to here without his guidance along the way. That's a big one. Obviously Tom Asher, June Asher, in terms of coaches, they've kind of had me since I was 3 years old and cried because they made me do a Waco. They've put up with a lot of crap for me to be sat here on the top of the podium today. And I mean, I had a very fortunate upbringing that I had a lot of time to be able to be creative with my time. I could play, I could ski, I could do all this stuff. But then I had a lot of coaches that dropped in and out along the way. And I can tell every single one of them, which I remember something from every single one of the coaches, whether it's Rich Forrest, Will Morrison, all of them along the way, Keith Jones, who coached me as a kid. This is going to get long, but every single one of those people that said one thing that meant something, you know, one thing that helped along the way pieces together to become the slalom skier that I am now. And obviously family, my mum and dad, my aunts, uncles, Mick, and then obviously my girlfriend back home, Tiggy. It all means a lot. The support from every single area is very much appreciated. And it's a building block of skiing, right? Something that happened today is maybe from something that a fin setting that someone mentioned 2 years ago, or a positional thing. One person said about puffing my chest out one time and took away back pain, and then I could ski again pain-free for the first time in 3 months, right? And that was when I was 12. So it's like, it's hard to get every single one, but every single person out there knows who they are, and anything that anyone said is, I'm incredibly thankful for over the years.
All right, then, I think I'm going to tear up on that one. But before I do, I'll terminate the podcast. Thanks a lot,
Thank you very much, Tony, indeed.
And make sure you stay tuned to the next edition of the TWBC podcast.
Thank you for TWBC for letting my parents be able to watch it. I guess that's a big one. You know, to be able to see back home with my family. I know they were all sat around, my brother, my girlfriend, my mum and dad, and they were watching it. Very thankful that they could watch it stress-free and just enjoy it.
Now you're really going to make me tear up. Anyway, thanks a lot, Rob Hazelwood, and next edition of the TWBC podcast coming your way. Get in touch with me, podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com, if you want more information or indeed want to support the podcast. But for me, for now, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.